All right, you ready?
I'm ready. Hey, sport, you race four-wheelers?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
A 10!
And now get ready for another episode of the Bump Data Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm your co-host, Colton Yankovic.
And I'm your host, John Yankovic. What episode is it?
26.
Dead on the money, we are getting our shit together.
Dang, did you turn my headphones up?
I don't know. I didn't touch the thing. Probably, possibly.
You did.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, usually we go through our spiel about what's going on, what we did, what we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But because we can't ever seem to start on time, and we have a guest coming on.
We'll do that last.
Yeah, we'll do that afterwards. So joining us tonight is going to be none other XC1 Pro. Wait for it. Jay Shadron's going to join us tonight here in a little bit. So we'll just get right into it. I'm going to let Colton fill up some dead air here while I text him and tell him to get ready. And that's not happening.
Huh?
So, all right. We'll have Jay on here in a little bit, but I just wanted to say, thanks for everybody for listening. It's really been going good.
Yeah.
Our last episode with Devin Masters. I didn't check on it recently because I've been away from the computer and away from the phone, but It's number two on downloads.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's creeping up on the Waka Fala.
The Catman.
Yeah. So, that one was well received. I need to say our last two podcasts, we had some weird thing with the audio and it made me sound like I was almost talking in slow motion in a cave. And it made Colton sound like he was 18.
Really?
Yeah. So we got that all squared away. And hopefully this is good.
I don't listen to these. I just make them.
We're going to give Jay Shad a call. So the phone is ringing. It's still ringing.
Hello.
Jay, what's happening, man?
Not much. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Welcome to the Thumb Throttle Podcast, the one and only.
Yeah, glad to be here.
No problem. Thanks for agreeing to come on. I know you've been fairly busy and preoccupied here lately, so I reached out to a couple friends of ours, our mutual friends, Liz, Harper, and just asked her, said, hey, talk to Jay. We'd love to have him on the show, but I completely understand if, you weren't ready to do that. And, I didn't want to have you on here until you were ready to do it. So, you agreed and that leads us to now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot going on nowadays.
I texted you probably about a week or two ago and kind of set this whole thing up, and then I got in contact with you today and said, set the date, and I said, hey, we'll be like 7 o'clock, give or take a little bit based on technical difficulties.
Add 30 minutes at least.
Yeah. So that did happen again, but also I was playing with our new toy, and it's a toy that you introduced us to, the Nash filter cleaner.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So we got it probably about 3 weeks ago, and my cheapness came out in me, and I didn't want to spring for the F3 filter cleaner. And I went to Menards and got like some other kind of degreaser, and it didn't particularly work too well in there. So
it didn't work at all.
Yeah. And, I sprung for the F3 and we just got it in today, and I had to try it. And I tell you what, it's freaking amazing how well this machine works.
Oh, I know. That's why I really advertise it, because like everybody hates cleaning filters, and
no, I do.
It's just so simple.
Yeah. I bought it because I've always left that job up to Colton, and he's.
What are you gonna say?
He's not Johnny on the spot on filter cleaning services, let me put it that way. And then it always comes down to me, and it's like I'm either cleaning filters while I'm working on the bike or while I'm doing something else. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy this under the guise that it's for him, but it's more for me to kind of lighten my workload. And yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, this is too good to be true. But it's not.
Yeah, that's what you'd think. I mean, it's just that easy. I couldn't believe it. That's like the best thing I've ever found for racing so far, I think.
How'd you find this product?
Another guy down here had one, and I was like, man, I gotta look into that and see. So I just looked it up on Instagram, and I kind of just hit up the owner on there, and we met up at the FTR race we were both going to, and I had a chat with him, and we worked out a deal and all that. And yeah, ever since then we've been selling units for him and getting them set up with other dealers and all that.
Yeah, I made sure, because we kind of did the same thing, and so I was looking at it, and I put it off for a while, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to eventually buy this thing, so I might as well just bite the bullet. So then I got on the website. I got on the website, and I was looking around, and it had, you know, the contact. So I got in contact with them, and super great to work with. You know, they got right back to me. And so that's how we got on there. And I said, you know, after we got everything going, I said, make sure that you know that I heard this from Jay Shad, because I wanted to make sure that your end of that was covered, because that's where I originally saw it from. So you're covered on that one.
I appreciate that.
When you were using it, what filter cleaner did you put in there?
The F3.
Yeah. Dude, that stuff smells so sweet.
Yeah, it's like bubble gum.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I hate bubble gum, but that stuff does smell good.
Yeah, a lot better than gas or whatever else you used to have to use.
Yeah, we always did the Twin Air, and it worked, but it was just like that solvent-y smell that you can never get off your hands. And this stuff is like magic.
Yeah. Yes, definitely the way to go.
Yeah. So moving on, I mean, this is kind of the elephant in the room. How's the recovery coming?
I guess good. Just trying to figure it out and do everything I can. Scooting around on chairs, and last night I actually lifted myself up because I can't put any pressure on my legs at all. I'm non-weight bearing completely. So I'd like wheel my chair over, and I got up and pushed myself up onto a spin bike and was rotating that real slow last night, and I just did it again a little bit ago tonight. So, I mean, I guess progressing, it's just I don't have enough patience for it.
Yeah, I can imagine. And when you – so if you want to go over everything, I'm sure everybody's seen it on Instagram, but if you want to go through, like, what actually happened, because, like, the video shows – like it kind of shows the tail end of it, kind of like the nose just diving and Jay was not diving and you just kept going. So did the bike cut out? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I actually had an engine failure and it walked up on the face. So yeah, not good.
So, I mean, the obvious thing is the physical pain from the injury, but, you know, speaking as a competitor, when you're taken out of it, do you find like the mental part of it is just as bad as the physical part of it? Because, I mean, you're just coming back from an injury that you had last year. You sat out, you didn't get the race last year. So now this year, you're training, you're getting in shape, you're getting ready. And then all of a sudden in a race that you're doing just kind of keep yourself sharp, you know, something like this happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's been wearing on me. It's been better lately because it's just, at this point, I've just accepted it. It just happens. But, I mean, just all that preparation and everything, just being right there, like that week, like that Monday was like a light switch almost of how much better I felt and was like, I was ready, pretty much like ready for round one. And I just felt better on the bike, faster, smoother. I mean, physically fit, like everything was just there that week. And just for have that happen, all that hard work for the past 2 months, just for nothing. It's just, it was tough.
Well, I mean, I can't speak to it because obviously it didn't happen to me, but you know, there was something that somebody once told me, and I mean, I don't know how you are in, you know, with faith and all that other stuff, and it's not about that, but somebody once told me that, you know, you'll never be put in an instance that you're not ready for, and you know, everything comes with its own hidden lessons. So you know, one thing that you can look from it is, you know, do you feel like this one was a little bit easier to get over, you know, mentally than last year's was, or is it kind of like just the same thing, or was it worse?
I think it's a little better because this isn't permanent. Like last year's injury was, it had permanent effects that'll never get better. But this time I know that I'm going to be better. So it's definitely a little better on that end. But I mean, it's still just, I mean, nobody wants to sit out, you know?
Right, right. Especially, you know, people of your level of riding, like you just don't get there on accident. You know, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of time and sacrifice put into the level of where you're going to be. And, you know, just, I can't imagine. Heck, I sit out when it rains, so it's not like it's really killing me. But, you know, for you, like you were, you were staged to make, you know, your big comeback. And, you know, it just gets cut short. But, you know, the thing is, you look at it this way, you know, mentally you can roll through it. So that's one big bonus there.
Yeah, for sure. Just got to keep my head up and keep trying to make progress and get back to it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. You can't really change anything. You kind of just got to put it behind you, have a short memory on it, and you know, take the cards you're dealt and make whatever you can of them. Now, are you, will you be out all year, or is it, what's the recovery like on one of these injuries where you basically break both your legs into pieces?
I mean, I don't know. There, I've had so many different things they've said about it on recovery times, but what I'm going with right now is I get out of a hard cast on my ankle in 3 weeks. Well, 2.5 now. And I get put in a mobility boot so I can then move my ankle. Mm-hmm. But they claim it's still not weight bearing. But I don't know. I feel like I'm progressing pretty well. So I'm just going to have to play it by day and see what I can do and what I'm capable of. Because, I mean, the doctors, I don't know. I don't agree with, I don't always agree, because I feel like they just go by protocol. And I have a holistic doctor that I have a lot of different supplements and all kind of good stuff like that that's going to pretty much double the recovery. So I don't know. I'm just going to take it by day and see where I can go with it. But as of now, definitely I'm in this cast for 2.5 more weeks till I can even think about putting any weight on it.
Yeah, I'm with you there as far as like the doctors. More and more I look at things and I see like the actual established medical system. I don't really think their main goal is to necessarily give you the best advice. I think it's more of a CYA on their part. They're not going to tell you, yeah, well, you can be up and around in, you know, 8 weeks, because if that happens and something happens in 8 weeks and you re-aggravate it, then, you know, they got to look back on them. That's why I've been really into like some of the holistic stuff. And I just feel that that's a better way to go, because A, it's natural. You're not relying on, not that you're relying really on, you know, medication in this instance, but I just feel like there's the body, when you actually look into it, is pretty freaking amazing on what it can do if it's given the right things and taken care of well. It's basically self-healing. So yeah, I share your outlook on that, because now when they tell you, okay, you're going to be out 8 weeks, does that spark something in you to like prove them wrong that you can be better in 4 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever like being told what to do. So, if someone tells you to do something, it always like makes you want to do the opposite. So, I mean, definitely, like, especially when they like that kind of, that doctor would say like, I should think of something else to do and have a backup plan like that. That even just makes it worse and makes me want to do it even more.
Yeah. I remember when I pretty much broke my back.
Here we go.
Well, I mean, you got to be relatable to the guests.
Yeah, but it's either you broke your back or fishing.
Well, I mean, that's where we're at right now. Yep. So let's hope that's all I have to talk about. I went into the doctors and, you know, basically he told me, he's like, you know, no more doing this, no more doing that, you know, just on the, you're going to maybe get back to leading somewhat normal. And it was like, that pissed me off more than anything. I was like, you know what? I am going to do this. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing. Plus I'm going to do more. And like, that was one of those things, like exactly like you said, like I didn't want to be told what to do, and let alone from somebody that doesn't even know me. So, I mean, after doing that, I mean, after being not able to walk
for a while,
I was wrestling with Colton when he was
wrestling, in quotation marks.
Yeah, I was coaching him. Actually wrestled a tournament.
Oh yeah, you did wrestle Viper Pit.
Yeah. And then I started racing four wheelers at the age of, well, at that time, 43, which not the best career advice. You don't get to heal as quickly as everybody else does, but you know, it just goes to show, like, if you put your mind to something and you're determined, then you can go ahead and do whatever it is you want. I'm not saying that I don't have effects now, but I'm able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I always hear that. They say you don't heal as quickly. I'm not looking forward to that happening.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and one other thing, too, is all those injuries you had when you were young, and everyone's like, well, you'll feel that when you get older. Trust me, you do. Like, that's not that's not bullshit at all, because I thought for sure that I was going to be like some super freak that never experienced that, and yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh boy.
So the best advice I can give there is to heal up as good as possible and do all the physical therapy that they tell you, because if not, then it makes it worse, because there were some that I didn't do because I thought I felt better, and I ended up paying for it.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do it. I don't know. I just like to cut the corner on that.
So we have another mutual friend that has been really helpful to you in this last injury, Dave Mashisco. How good of a dude is Dave, really? Like, I can say that about a lot of people, but Dave is just one of those guys is just super freaking awesome.
Yeah, he really is. He helps me out a ton, and we talk a lot and all that. I mean, he was even in my wedding, so we're pretty good buddies, and yeah, we help each other out a lot. He's a real good guy.
How'd you meet Dave?
Oh, back through friends of friends at races years ago, back in like, I want to say like 2006. He was just like friends of a friend and parked with us and all that, and kind of just became friends with him there pretty much, and just stuck through all the years.
Yeah. I actually met him through somebody that I used to work with. I used to work with Deanna, and, I was at a GNCC race, and I didn't think, like, that was probably the last person that I ever seen that thought that I would know. And I got talking to her, and she's like, oh yeah, you know, my boyfriend races. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And then, I finally met Dave, and I think the first time I met Dave, like, I had asked him about something, and like, he just went over the top to try and help me out with whatever it was I needed at that time. I think it was like a brake caliper or something. And, I was like, well, what do I owe you? He's like, ah, no, don't worry about it. And I'm like, come on, Dave. But that's just the kind of guy Dave is, like, just salt of the earth.
Yeah, definitely. It seems sometimes like he likes to help people more than taking care of his own stuff.
Right. Like, there's very few people in the world that actually get joy out of just helping people. And I think Dave's one of those guys. Like, it even if it costs him, like, I'm not making this an advertisement to hit up Dave for free stuff, but it's like, I've tried to pay him for stuff like many times, and like, he won't take money. And I'm like, come on, Dave, like, you've got a million things going on. Like, at least you took time out of this. Let me do something. And he won't. So I forget what he did, if he redid my shocks or there was something else, but I ended up buying him a bottle of Blanton's. And I was like, you're at least going to take this. You can't turn this down.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably liked that.
Yeah, I think he did. But so you had you raced XC1 before, and then you got out, and then you came back in, did you come back in College A and then go XC2, or was it straight to XC2, then to XC1 again?
I did a year of Junior A, the 22 plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then everybody knows about your domination in XC2. It was like the Jay Shad show. Everybody else kind of showed up. And then you, so when you got out of it the first time, describe kind of the reasons why you got out of it, and then how you, what forced you to come back into it?
I don't know, I guess young, wanted to do other things. Didn't like being told what to do, obviously. it just wasn't fun anymore. It's becoming too much of a job. Like, I've always had like a full-time construction job since I was 15. So it was that plus then trying to be a full-time racer and be competitive. And then if I couldn't put the amount of time in that I needed to, the results didn't show. And it was just, it was too much at the time. And there's just other things I wanted to do. And so I just kind of pulled out of it for a while and did what I wanted, and then ended up missing it. I would still race here and there. Didn't race nationals. Did one or two maybe. But then it was actually whenever I came back, me and my buddies were sitting somewhere one day, and we were just talking. We were like, maybe I should just go run Junior A for a year. And I don't even think like I even planned on doing a full year. Like, I just went to race. I even, Dave brought my quad down to me for South Carolina. Like, I didn't have it or any of that. So just went and raced and did well, and I had fun. So then I just stuck with it, and it completely changed the outlook on it. And I just was having fun again. So that's pretty much why I've been sticking with it now.
Yeah, you definitely got to have fun, because if it becomes too much of a job, then it's just, it's hard to force yourself whenever you're not enjoying it. Whenever you're enjoying it, it seems like it makes it that much easier. And
yeah, definitely.
So when you moved from XC2, where you were pretty much running with XC1 most of the time, and then you moved to XC1, and I ask this to everyone that makes that jump, what is the biggest difference? And I like to hear everybody's answer to it, because some are the same and then some are different. But what is the difference between, obviously, other than the, you know, the competitors, but what is the difference between dominating XC1 or dominating XC2 and dominating XC1?
The pace is a world of difference. I'd say even now, once you break into the top five, it's just minutes difference from behind that. And a lot of it's a mental game. I mean, you're against guys that have been winning forever and that can win at any race. And it's just, you're the new guy. And I don't know. It's just almost, I don't want to say intimidating, but kind of is at the same time. And you're always like thinking about that, like how good this guy is and all his past accomplishments and all that. And then you're starting on the same line as them. So you might not get the same results going for, like, a lot of guys even go backwards when they go to XC2 to XC1, because you're not getting that time adjustment anymore. You get a bad start and you don't pass the guys, you don't beat them.
Right.
And XC2, you all you got to do is catch them, and you're beating, you can beat four guys you didn't even pass.
Right.
So that has a lot to do with it too. And physical conditioning, everything. I mean, everything plays a factor into it, because it's just minutes a race faster than the XC2.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about the other day, and I think I'm going to start asking this question more and more. Is you hear people talk about, you know, for one instance that I can think of most recently was Josh Merritt said, you know, he could see Bryson, as long as he thought he could see Bryson, that he could hold with him and he could pace him. He could kind of like stick with him. Now, obviously, Josh's machine doesn't know Bryce's machine. There's no rope between the two of them. So when people say, you know, as long as I was with this person, I knew that I could keep pace with them. So obviously it's nothing physical. It's a mental thing. Describe how that works, like mentally, whenever you're just racing by yourself, or if you can see somebody, because I was thinking about that and it just, the only thing that I can come down to is it's purely a mental thing.
Yeah. I'd say, especially being behind like Bryson, obviously, you know, you're up front at that point. And, if you just keep it in your head that as long as you keep them in your sight, then you're going to be on the podium or be in contention to even win the race. I mean, that's when your mind pretty much takes over and it doesn't matter your physical conditioning or anything at that point. Your mind's just taken over, and that's all you can focus on is staying near them or winning, pretty much, you know, just getting that to the finish line. And I mean, you've felt it before in the past, even just like, I don't know, it's hard to put into words, I guess, but you don't notice you're getting tired. You don't notice you're making mistakes, any of that. All you're focused on is just keeping pace. It's just different.
And that makes sense, because if you're riding by yourself, you're trying to obviously pass somebody that you can't see. So you don't know the pace that you're keeping, but if you're with a pack and you're trying to break away, like, you can at least eliminate that part of it. And like you said, just focus on sticking with that person.
Right. Yeah. And then when you're by yourself, all you're thinking about is like, man, my bike doesn't feel good here. It's doing this, it's doing that. And then you're just getting tired and all that. And then you end up getting caught by the people behind you. So it's like, it's kind of hard when you're by yourself. It's a lot easier to follow at times.
Yeah. And then I would think too, like, it would even be harder because if you're the lead guy, now all that you got people behind you pacing you, and now you're thinking the same thing, but now you're in the lead, something that I would never know about. other than the one fair where race that I won. I did win a fair race. You might have heard about it. I mean, if you didn't, it's okay. I mean, I understand. But it was a pretty big deal. It was on AM radio, and I think maybe even like ESPN 14 in Pakistan. I think it was. Yeah, I think it aired in Pakistan. Okay. So. Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. I got a trophy. I don't like to brag about it, but I mean, I guess I am a little bit. So.
Nothing worth bragging for.
Where's this fair at?
West Alexander. It's actually the World's Fair is what they call it. It's the World's Fair. It's actually the longest running fair in the country, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I never went to that one. It's the same series. I run Fayette and Westmoreland every year, and that same, I forget who runs them, but they run those motocross races there too.
Yeah. Yeah. We usually go to two of them, the Washington County Fair and then the West Alexander Fair. And the West Alexander one was the one that actually got Colton into racing. Mm-hmm. Cause we'd always go to the fair and we'd see him. And, you know, one time I was like, hey, we got nothing else to do. You want to do it? And of course he was really hesitant at the time. I think he got his ass kicked the first race.
I think I did.
And then the second time he raced it, he actually won. And I was like beside myself. I was like, I don't know how this happened. He was running a little TRX 90 and everyone else was running like Raptors and.
Really?
Know. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was like a pile up somewhere and you That's managed why. To like.
See, I've always been good at that, haven't I?
Yeah. You managed to kind of like safe your way through it while everyone else was like picking themselves up and you just do, 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 do. And I think you hung on for a lap. But yeah.
Hey, that, win's a win.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
So that's what started this whole thing. So that was a very simpler time, a very cheaper time than now. So.
Yeah, those are always fun. I always like doing it in the summer. We have a couple around that I always do. It's fun just to go play around.
Yeah, it's one of those things too where like they can be some of the roughest races around too, because
I remember at the Washington Fair, what it was like I think it was like an old Suzuki. A guy's tire went flying off.
Oh yeah. It's like a some of them bikes that are in them races, you're like, I'm almost to the point where I'm telling Colton, I'm like, just keep your distance from this bike because I don't know what's going to fall off it. It looks like it's been sitting in the barn for the last 5 years. It's probably got the same gas in it that's been in it for 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can be pretty rough because some of those people just, they don't give two shits at all.
Yeah, people come out of the woodwork for the county fairs, that's for sure.
So, moving on, I mean, there's always the blue headlights that's your trademark too, but you also have been working with Action Off-Road as well, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Now, last year you weren't able to come to the camp because of an injury. Do you think you'll be in a position this year where you'll be able to make, obviously not riding, but, or maybe riding. I mean, who knows? That's 5 months from now.
Really?
But, do you have plans on going down there this year?
Oh yeah. 100%. I've been trying to go the past 2 years and I don't know, just something comes up last second like that. And I'll be really devastated if I can't go this year. That's really bad luck.
I always describe the Action Off-Road camp as like the funnest thing you can do as a parent with your clothes on.
Yeah.
It was.
I don't know yet. I still haven't been able to see it, so I don't know what to expect yet. I see and hear stuff, but.
Yeah,
it's still have yet to be there in person.
It's a good time. And like speaking about people like Dave, like Jason and Alicia Stewart are just, they're some of those people where like the first time you meet them, you feel like you've known them forever because they're just so welcoming and so just nice. Alicia, I wish I could be adopted by her if, you know, there was ever an opportunity. I think the world of her and Jason. I mean, Jason's the kind of guy, and we've talked about this before, where like when you go to the camp and you start looking at it from an outside perspective of just like what it costs to put this camp on and what he actually charges everybody to go. I mean, it's one of those things where the guy does it just because he loves doing it. I mean, I doubt he might make enough to break even on it. But he's all in there too.
Yeah. I mean, they're great people, Jason and Alicia. I can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me and what they do for everybody. I mean, they're just awesome people, caring and, got an awesome thing going with Action Off-Road and the camps and all that. So I'm glad to be able to be a part of that and see what they do for everybody firsthand and all that. It's just a great thing for the sport in general.
Yeah, they've really stepped it up and helped a lot of people out that are in the XC1 line that probably without them might not be, you know, racing this year. I know we talked to Josh once and, you know, they said, you know, he was basically, he said, Jason just said, you know, give me one more year. And, he did. And, you know, that's huge for somebody in that position, because I mean, let's face it, even if you're winning all the time, it's not paying for itself. So to have somebody stick behind you and help you out is just huge.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'd say it myself. I mean, it would be very, very hard without them helping me. That's for sure. If I could do it at all, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know how any of you guys actually do it, because like I know what I have in our program, and that's just running the youth events. And you know, if we can't go to one, well then, you know, we have a drop, where as the XC1 guys, you don't have any drops. Like if you're going to commit to it, then you've got to commit to all 12 or 13 rounds. And that is a huge commitment in itself, let alone two or three bikes that you have to field for the season and the maintenance on those. And let's face it, it's not like you're putting just bare minimum into the bike. I mean, there's what your bare minimum bike would be to race an XC1 class would be probably something that the average guy would be just, it'd be a showroom bike.
Yeah. It really is unreal. Like even if you even question something a little bit, you might as well put a new part on it, because you know it's going to fail or has a chance of failing. Then you're thinking about it. It's just, you can't afford to go to the race and not finish at that level. I mean, you got to, like, even if you're not in the top 20, you don't get a point. So if you get 21st, you race that whole race for nothing. So it's, you got to be on top of your game and on top of the bike like that. It takes a lot to do it and a lot of time and a lot of money for sure.
Yeah. And you actually started working on bikes too. You have J Shad Motorsports, correct? Shameless plug there.
Yeah. Yep. I do motors and stuff like that. And eventually, once I'm out of racing, maybe make it a little more like bike preps and things like that. But I have a couple little products out there. And yeah, just trying to do a little thing, make some extra money.
Yeah. Well, feel free to tell us about the products, because, you know, we have several listeners here, and all of them are in the racing community. So if you want to plug any of them, here's your opportunity to.
Yeah. Right now I got the engine timing plugs for YFCs, parking brake block offs. They're pretty much universal, fit dang near anything. Master cylinder covers, an easy pull clutch arm, which makes the clutch a lot easier to pull, and the feel of it's just a lot better. You don't get fatigued so easy. Then the gusset kits. The gusset kits are a big one for the frames on the YFZs. The lower rail and the steering stop are super weak on these newer frames, so that's pretty much a must. Like anytime I build a bike or I'm going to get a powder kit one, I just do it right away before something bad happens. So that's the best way to go with that. And I enjoy doing motors. I rebuild a lot of them. So yeah, I guess that's pretty much the extent of it for now until I take it to the next level, I guess.
Yeah. And you should give Dave a few pointers on motors, because he seems to have the worst luck with motors or anything on the bike, for that matter.
Yeah. He's a lost cause for me at this point. I try. I tell him exactly what to do, but he just got to put his touches on it, or he's too cheap to buy something new and he'll take my used stuff. So that's his problem. He knows what he's doing. He just won't do it right.
I remember we were at a race. We were in an NECXC last year in, I think it was Buckhannon, the Strawberry 100.
And oh, my God. I hate that
race. It was a complete mud race. And we were there. It was me and Colton, and we were there with Deanna. Did you race that one?
Yeah. Now that you said that, was that mutter. Yep.
Yeah.
The buzzer.
Yeah. And we were there, and I was kind of helping Deanna, like, pit people. And Dave came through. I think he got a splash of gas, some goggles and stuff. And then he took off. And it wasn't like 10 seconds later, maybe even less than 10 seconds. Like, Colton looks over the trailers because there was trailers blocking our vision. And there was just this huge, like, cloud of white smoke. And Colton's like, oh, man, something happened over there. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And it was like 2 minutes later, here comes Dave coming right back into the trailer. Yep. And I'm like, I should have known.
I'm not surprised at all, honestly.
I think he blew the whole side of his clutch cover out or something.
Yeah.
Probably, because it was off of 2009 and used for 500 hours, but he got it for free.
He's sticking with the carb bikes this year, isn't he?
He's back to EFI again.
Oh, he is? He did? I haven't talked to him yet this year.
Yeah, he's back to EFI now. He was on the carb thing last year, and now he's back.
Now, did he give that up, or is he just going with something and trying to break something else now?
You never know, honestly. You have no idea what he's going to do. I think he's just stuck in the past. He just wants a carburetor on something. He can't stand it.
I remember talking to him. He's like, every race that I haven't finished was because of this damn EFI. And I'm like, Dave, you realize that you haven't finished a race yet this year, and it's all been on the carb bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
But I tell you what, though, he's kind of like you and me. You can't tell him no. He's going to do whatever it is he wants to do, and he'll make it work somehow. Maybe not the whole time, but he will make it work.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Well, I appreciate having this opportunity to have you on here, Jay. And
me too.
You know, I don't want to keep you. I'm sure you got other things to do, and, you know, everyone's busy, and I appreciate everyone for their time. But, you know, it was a good almost 40 minutes. Doesn't even seem like
40.
Yeah, 40 minutes. We're long-winded. Okay. We're long-winded. We kind of get off topic, but we kept on topic this one for a good while, didn't
kind
we?
Of
yeah I mean not bad
yeah, yeah. It was better,
yeah, but Jay, we wish you nothing but the best, and a speedy recovery, and will we be seeing you at any of these upcoming races, whether I mean obviously it might not be racing, but just there in person?
Yeah, I plan to go to all of them still. I made it up to Big Buck, and heck, I'm in Florida now, so it's only about an hour away. So we'll be over there at the action trailer and all that, advertising some stuff and hanging out and helping everybody and talking to everybody. So I'll be there.
Cool. All right. So before we let you go, what are your picks for Florida for the XC1 line?
Oh, we were talking about this in a group text the other day. I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody because I'm friends with a lot of those guys.
We do the same thing, and Colton gives me shit about it all the time. I'm like, I know all these guys, and I know that if I pick somebody and it gets back to them, then it's gonna piss them off. But I try to I try to make it known that it's nothing, it has nothing to do with liking somebody. It's just my gut feeling and how I think the race is going to go, and it's probably nowhere close to the way it is, but just if you just throw something out, and it's not to offend anybody. So if you're listening to it and Jay doesn't pick you, it's my fault. So you can bitch at me. I put Jay on the spot, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. I had it picked out the other day, but I can't 100% decide on a third. I got Bryson, Walker, and then I'm torn between Hunter and Miguel for third.
You just got a big smile from Colton.
See?
Yeah, that's just, I've obviously been riding with, not so much Hunter, but when I was riding, I'd ride with Miguel like every day. And I know what he does down here and how he's been, and especially the result he had at round one compared to last year's round one. I think that he'll have something that a lot of people don't expect. And you never know what Hunter's going to do. One year he's seventh, the next year he's on the podium in Florida. So you never know. So that's why I can't really decide on a solid third there. But I don't think anybody will touch Bryson. And I think Walker will be off Bryson's pace, but ahead of third place. That's my call.
Yeah. And Walker, like, this is Walker's race, because he's always said that in the past, that nobody beats him in Florida. And this year is going to be one of those years that he's really going to have to put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, he could prove me wrong. Anybody can prove me wrong, but that's just my prediction on it. That's all.
Yeah. And it's like, there's so, like you said, there's so many people in that XC1 line that could win at any point in time. Merritt, I think Colton had him, I think, third place.
And then I changed it.
And then he changed it and put the old man in there. And so he lost on that one. But yeah, it's so hard. And it even further complicates things when you know these people. More than just, you know, saying hi at the race. Like, we've talked to them, we've had classes with them, we've had them on the show. It's going to be hard for me. I think my three picks, and it's so hard not to pick Bryson just because he's on top of the world right now. He started pretty much dead last off the start in Big Buck, and you've seen how that turned out. You can argue and say, you know, if Walker hadn't hit the tree, that he could have put more of a gap there. You can argue ifs, ands, and buts all day long. But the fact is, Bryson's driven to keep winning races. That being said, excuse me, I believe Walker is driven to come back from missing a year and prove that he's got something for Bryson. Hunter, I've seen Hunter ride at the Action Off-Road camp, and just the way his mind works when he's on the bike and how he rides is just truly amazing to me. And I just feel like there's something with Hunter that I think time is just going to eventually absolve it, because the guy is just crazy fast. He does things. He thinks at like ungodly speeds. And it's always something weird that bites him. And I think when he moves through that, then it's going to be a completely different top three every race. So I think Hunter is always in the running at any point in time, anytime he puts that helmet on. And then Merritt too. I think Merritt has just found something that he hasn't found in the past, and he's going to ride that wave. So it's hard for me to even pick a top three.
Then I'll go.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to put Walker in first.
Okay.
Bryson in second.
Okay.
And McGill in third.
Sticking with the old man.
I have faith.
Yeah. Yeah, he could pull it out there for sure. He almost did a big buck.
Yeah.
Wasn't far off.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to hold my feet to the fire?
What's that mean?
Are you going
to
force?
Yeah, you got to pick two. We picked. You got to pick.
All right. So, man.
Now, here we go again.
No, I'm not going to say it. I've said it a million other times. I will just pick. I'm going
to
go.
Hey, we should make it interesting for you and run it clear to top five.
Oh, I can do top five. I'm going to do, and these first two, I think, could be interchangeable, but I am going to pick Walker first. I think him and Bryson, if it ends up this way, will be very close. You can interchange the two, but okay. I'm just going to give Walker the edge, being that he may be a little more determined than Bryson is, if that's even a thing. So I'm going to write this down. I'm going to go Walker first. I'm going to go Bryson second. And I need to get Bryson on this show at some point in time, because it's the one guy that we pick all the time and we've never talked to.
Walkle.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking and writing at the same time. Third.
Who is Walkle?
Third. I'm going to pick Merritt. Okay. That's why I'm not talking. I'm writing.
Yeah. I think Walkle's going to win.
Yeah.
Fourth, I am going to go with Hunter.
Okay.
And then fifth, I'm going to stray from everybody. And it's...
Let me guess. Merritt. Or no, Merritt was...
I already picked Merritt for third.
Shut up.
Steve Harrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a very good possibility as well.
I believe Steve is one of those guys that when he finds his stride is going to be one of the just hard to beat. And that's just from talking to him. His mental game is just on point. It's hard to rattle him. He takes everything in stride. I left McGill off this one only because historically, I mean, he can say all he wants about how the Gators are down south.
But he isn't.
He's a West Virginia Gator. So he fares better in the northern climates. Mm-hmm. And he will definitely be on my top five up here. I just think that Florida is one of those off races with a lot of whoops, a lot of sand, can cause some arm pump. And admittedly, he's been dealing with some arm pump and always dealt with arm pump. So I think that's going to kind of get him in a point where he's going to be in that 5-6 area. And he's going to ride one of those races where he just rides by himself in fifth and sixth. And salvages good points for it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, and all these things could change too. Like you could see Wyatt Wilkin break the top five there. I think he's a guy that's completely capable of it too.
Yeah.
It's way open. And even Junior. I mean, I haven't picked Junior yet this year, and he's one that can come out of nowhere and just be on the podium at any point in time.
Yeah, definitely. He's always a good front runner. It's just he's still recovering on that wrist. I don't know. I still don't think he'll be 100% this weekend. So that's kind of why I didn't factor him into my top five yet. But I'm sure it won't be long until he's back there.
All right. Well, Jay, we've kept you long enough, going on almost an hour now. I appreciate you calling in. And at any point in time, I mean, you're more than welcome to come back. We'll check in with you and keep a progress on your recovery, and hope it's a speedy one, and hope to see you back sooner than later. Cause we need to see those blue headlights coming through the pack or coming around that first turn and first.
Yeah. I can't wait to be back. That's for sure. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's good talking to you, and, yeah, we'll do it again soon.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Yep. We'll see you guys.
All right. Bye. All right. So
that was Jay Shadron.
Yes. The Jay Shad. I've been wanting to have him. Like I said, I've been wanting to have him on. I wanted to have him on last year. Understandably, with what he went through last year, he needed to take care of him before he, did podcasts and stuff like that. So, undeniably fast. I mean, I put him in the category of freaky fast, like I do a lot of these guys. But, we hate to see that happen. But it's racing. I mean,
yeah,
that's what happens. If you race long enough, you're going to take a digger and, hopefully walk away from it. Sometimes you don't, and sometimes you sit out and you heal up. But then you really see what you're made of, because when you're driven to get back and get back in shape, and not only just back on the bike, but back in the contention to win the races and be that speed, is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we have a new sponsor.
We do.
And so
you've probably used them before.
Yes, you probably have used them if you've bought parts before. So we are, I say we, Colton and I, and the podcast have been picked up by Partzilla.
Yeah.
If you guys, you have and bought OEM parts, there's the best prices that I've seen have been from Partzilla. Mm-hmm. I've ordered from Rocky Mountain before, and 9 times out of 10, Partzilla can beat the prices on them. And that's hard to do, because all these OEM parts, the prices are pretty much
around the same,
and yeah, where they are.
But they don't have to be.
Mm-hmm. But so I was trying to work something in with this whole deal, and I started out shooting for the stars for a big listener discount on Partzilla parts. Throughout the whole talking of it, we kind of find out a lot about it and how it works and map pricing. And, there's really no room for them to move on stuff like that. However, one thing that they did do, and it may not seem like a lot, but when you think about it, you know, if you're working on your bike and you break a bolt or you break one part and you get on there and you look at it and it's $50. Well, free shipping kicks in at $150. So now you're like, oh, what else do I need? And 9 times out of 10, we usually do bump it up to $150 and get that free shipping. But sometimes you just want that part and you don't want to spend the time looking for what else it is you need. Or say you order, you put an order in, and then the next day you're like, oh shit, I forgot this part. What they've agreed to do to us with us is give us a shitload of free shipping cards. So if you see us at the races, the NEXC or the GNCC, hit us up or we'll give you a couple free shipping cards. They are one-time use. They are tracked back to the podcast, so they'll know, you know, where you heard it from and where you got that code from. But, you know, you can say, well, I always spend $150 and I get free shipping. And, you know, you probably do. And I do the same time, but at the same time, it's nice when I need that one part and the part's like
that bolt,
that one bolt that's $5 and shipping is $12. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're just buying a $5 part. The shipping is on us. So we will have a stack of cards for free shipping. We'll also have some, they're going to send us some t-shirts. There's a whole care package coming that we can give away. And that was one thing that I wanted to do was be able to give back to the podcast. And this is one small way of doing it. So if you're in the business of buying parts, definitely check out Partzilla. I don't even have to tell you about it if you're in this game and you're listening to the podcast.
Because you probably already know about it.
Yeah, you already know about Partzilla. Glad to have them aboard. We already went through our picks for Florida with Jay. Do you see any sleepers for Florida? Like people we haven't mentioned. I've said a few.
Wyatt Wilkin is a good pick. I don't know if Cole's racing this one.
I don't know. I haven't heard and I haven't talked to him. I need to get a hold of him and get him on the show and just hash out all the whole retirement thing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see if we can talk him into racing a GNCC on the 250R.
That would be sick.
I mean, he's got nothing to lose. He's not chasing points. He's doing it just to enjoy himself. Mm-hmm. So why not bring the 250R out and run one?
Mm-hmm. Junior is a good pick.
Yeah.
Man, do you have any other ones?
Those are the two that came to my mind. I still believe Chris Borch has one left in him.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to come in one of these times where it's just nobody's going to be expecting it. So you can't count out Chris. Ronnie Rush is another one.
Yeah.
That I think could, if he can get past some of the mishaps, be on the podium. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, we could pick the whole XC1 line and say they could be a sleeper. And in all reality, they are. Yeah. Not so much a sleeper, just have everything go right for them for once.
Yeah, just like have a good race.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm trying to think about things that I wanted to bring up on the show for this week.
I have a one.
Oh, okay.
We got our motor back.
Yes, we did. And we are almost 20 days away from the first race.
Yeah.
And we now have all the parts to assemble.
No, we don't.
Oh, okay. We're missing a hood.
No, we don't.
What are we missing?
The Wrath.
Oh, yes.
Nerf bars. You need to order those.
I did order them.
Then how come they aren't here yet?
Because Wrath makes everything as you order it.
Oh,
they,
really?
They don't have a huge inventory, and that's one of the reasons why they can do what they do, because they don't carry a huge inventory.
So when are they going to be here?
As soon as I get a chance to call during the day, I will call them and find out where they are. But they told me that it shouldn't be a problem having them before the first race.
Yeah, okay.
So we have 2 weeks, basically, give or take a couple days.
Give or take.
So that's a lot of time until it isn't.
Yeah. What else did we get? Do you have anything?
No, I'm trying to rack my brain thinking of stuff, and I know it happens all the time. I'll be on my way to work tomorrow, and I'll think, damn, we should have talked about this, and we don't. And then I try to think about it and put it on the next show, and then I forget about it again. So, that being said,
I think we've went over everything.
I think we did too. Yeah. Except for the things that we didn't.
That we'll remember in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I got. GNCC this weekend in Florida.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they're like
circulars. Yeah. And then Georgia the week after.
And then East Coast.
And then New East Coast to start.
Which I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm going to win.
I hope so. You better.
I will.
Yeah, the team owner is demanding it.
I'll win.
I'm demanding results.
I'll win.
So if you got nothing else, I got nothing else. We can wrap it up.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. So from all of us here to all of you out there, keep it on all four wheels.
Or three if you ride a three wheeler.
Thanks for spending time with us, guys, and we will see you on the next episode of the Thumb Throttle Podcast.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.